Turn with me now and to your scriptures to the book of Mark. And I'll not get to it for just a few minutes, but you got a subject title. I don't always give a subject title, but this one is Divine Healing in the Atonement. You know, many people today are going all over the country searching out for somebody that can heal their diseases. And I remember in Texas, there was a, I won't mention his name, his initials are A.A. Allen, but he was going around everywhere and claiming to be able to heal everybody that came around. The odd thing is that every once in a while, he's had to go into the hospital to get his eyes treated. And I wondered how he could do that and then tell everybody else that they couldn't. They had to have divine healing, you know. The question is divine healing in the atonement? And that's what I want to look at this morning. It commonly is called the characteristic or a charismatic movement. And this charismatic movement involves several doctrines that I want to sort of look at a little bit. Chiefly, it's a continuation of what they claim are spiritual gifts that were used during the New Testament. Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 16. And now I have trouble with my Bible turning the pages because they got sort of worn. But if I can turn there real easy, I will. Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So this is the verse of scripture that I want to use to look at today. There are several things that are mentioned in it. We'll not look at all of them, of course. But there's such as casting out of devils, speaking with tongues, and that means languages, taking up serpents. And we have an example of that with the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 28, but we'll not turn there right now. And then the drinking of poisons, and then the healing of the sick. You'll notice there it says, in my name shall they cast out devils. So that's the first thing that's there. And then it says they shall speak with new tongues. That's a language. And then it says they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. My dad pastored Ohio Street Baptist Church in Van Buren, Arkansas. And while he was pastor, there was a man came through town and having big citywide campaigns and declaring that he was a preacher that could perform miracles. And then he would go downtown and get on the street and he would preach on the street. And so my dad was there one day and saw he was over there, so he went over there to talk to him. And he said, I'd like to challenge your doctrine that you're preaching. And they did it publicly in front of everybody. And the man said, that's fine. So the first thing he did was to talk about his power to provide divine healing and so forth. And Dad said, do you believe all the scripture there that talks about that? Yes, I do. And Dad said, well, if you will notice, it says they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And Dad reached into his pocket, and he pulled out a bottle. And he said, I want you to know that this bottle, and I'm not sure what I believe, was strychnine. And he said, now this, I want you to know, is poison. And that if you were to drink this, you will not survive. But you've been talking about how you've been able to fulfill these prophecies right here. He said, I want you now to drink this bottle and to show us that this scripture means what you're saying when it says, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. He says, I want you to drink it. Now, I'm telling you, this is real poison. It is this real, I think it'll kill you. But I challenge you to drink it. He got so mad, he just drove away and said, I'll not argue with a fool. You see, they want to pick out just one part of this verse and claim that they're able to fulfill this verse by just taking out one section. It says, these signs shall follow them that believe. And you'll notice there are several things here. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'm sure you read in the papers within the last 6 months. I'm not exactly how long ago it was now. But the papers here in Little Rock had an article about a man that was, I believe, in the state of Kentucky that died from a snake bite. He was one of those who believed that you could handle snakes and that you wouldn't have to worry about it. And that's what they did in that little group they had. They'd get snakes on whatever service day they had, and they'd have them in a box or in something, I don't know what, but something. And they'd reach in and take the snake out. It was a rattlesnake. And they'd take the snake out and they'd handle it. And they'd preach and claim that they were able to do this because they had the power and the Spirit of God to handle snakes. The only thing is, one day, not less than 6 months ago, he was bitten by one of the snakes. And he would not go see the doctor. He wouldn't do anything else at all. And the result is, he died. And so his son took over. And they're still, to my knowledge, still preaching the same thing today. And yet they say that they're able to fulfill this scripture. Now what they say is they speak in other tongues. And that's the one I want to look at this morning. Because they claim that they can do everything that this verse says right here. And that they can do so without any problem whatsoever. Well, is really bodily healing in the atonement? And I want to look at that this morning. First of all, man is created as a triune being. That is, he has body, soul, and spirit. Turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 1. And it says in verse 26, my Bible, I'm going to have to buy me a Bible. I got my Bible when I was ordained, this one. And so I've just sentimentally, I guess, kept this same one all the time. But in chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. So man was created as a triune being. When you turn back to the book of 1 Thessalonians, and I'm going to take time to go back to these now. I used to sort of write them out or type them out and have them right there with me so I didn't have to look them up, but I didn't do that today. So we'll take time to turn to it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and it says here in verse 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And that's what I wish to do this morning. Then if you look, it says that man was created a triune being, that is, a triune being. The body gives us earth consciousness. The soul gives us self-consciousness. And the spirit gives us God consciousness. And let's turn back to the book of Ecclesiastes for just a minute. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we read in chapter 12 and verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So we see that God is a triune God, and that he had body, soul, and spirit in Jesus Christ while he was here upon the earth. Now man has a body, And it's similar to animals in that we derive from God, from Him, rather than from the animals themselves. And we desire to live in this same environment. It's made where our bodies are made to live in the environment that we have today. Now, the difference between animal bodies and our body is that animal care of the body is instinct, whereas God provided us intelligence. And so I want to look at the scripture today concerning sickness. Is all sickness of the devil? Well, there are some who think it is, but let us notice in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, we see that all sickness is sort of like race guilt. He says in chapter 2 and verse 17, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Notice in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and in the dust shalt thou return." And then in Psalm chapter 51, Psalm 51 and verse 5. My pages don't turn real good for me. It says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." So God sometimes uses sickness, though, for His glory and for the betterment of His saints. As an example of that would be Job. We turn over to the book of Job chapter 1. And in verse 6, it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. And the Lord said unto him," Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and all upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." Then if you'll turn to Job chapter 42. In chapter 42, we read in verse 10, And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread and him with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. And so we see that God uses sickness for his glory and for the betterment of his saints. For instance, in John chapter 9, we see of the man that was born blind. John chapter 9, beginning verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And went his way therefore and washed and came seeking. And so we see that Paul had this thorn in the flesh as well. For you turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. These pages don't want to move. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, notice in verse 7, they're talking about the Apostle Paul, and he says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, that I should be exalted above measure. So Paul had a thorn in the flesh. You turn to Galatians, and it says in chapter 6 and verse 11 concerning the same thing. He says, "Ye see how large print I have written unto you with mine own hands." In other words, he was able to write, but because of his near blindness, he had to write much larger than that. Now, Timothy also was one who had this situation. For you turn to book of Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5. And in verse 23, it says, Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. So Paul and Timothy both had this situation there. Now, the question is, if it's sin caused this, who sinned? Was it Paul or Timothy or what? Why take medicine? Why don't they just pray like they say to do today? At least that's their reasoning. Now, Luke was called the beloved physician. You turn over to the book of Colossians, and the book Colossians chapter 4. In the book of Colossians chapter 4, he says in verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. So Luke was called the beloved physician after his salvation. Is it true? If you be a physician and practice medicine, is that right or wrong? Did he still practice medicine after his salvation? Well, he was called the beloved physician. Now, if taking a medicine is sin, then the prescribing of medicine would also be sin. Yet Jesus did that very thing. Did Jesus sin? Notice in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 12. And when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. So we see that the Lord mentions the fact that they can have a doctor there. In Mark chapter 2, he says basically the same thing. In Mark chapter 2, and notice in verse 17, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And then in the book of Luke chapter 5, we find a parallel scripture to that one. In Luke chapter 5, verse 31, And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. So we see now that it was possible for people to be sick, and to call upon one of the apostles, and they were able to heal them at that time, even as Jesus himself did. The question now is healing for our age today. We can acknowledge the fact that they did back in Old Testament and New Testament days, but can we have healing today as they did? Well, if healing is in the atonement for this age, then at the moment of faith in Christ, salvation, everyone would be perfectly healed at that time. If healing is for now, And if we're unsaved and we trust the Lord and believe in Him, then at that moment we should be completely healed. Saving faith is perfect faith, imparted to the sinner by the Holy Spirit. For in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So, if we believe that healing is for this age, then all blind, deaf, weak, crippled, or sick would be instantly healed at the moment that they were saved and they believed in the Lord. But if they had lost arms or legs, would they be replaced? Or teeth or eyes, would they be healed? If divine healing is in the atonement for this age, then the physical death for the believer would be instantly abolished. Yet all believers from the day of Christ up until those living today have died. Did they lose their faith? Did they sin? Did they die lost? Where are the believers who died in the past? Since all die in the flesh, then the flesh is not made perfect. When we're saved, our soul is made perfect, but our body is not made perfect. It will die. Can a perfect person die? You see, death is a result of sin. We turn back to the book of James. In James chapter 1 and verse 15. I'm having trouble with my movement. My fingers don't want to work right today. It's one of my worst days. I don't know why, unless the devil don't like it. James chapter 1 and verse 15. "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." And so we see that our body is affected by sin after we're saved, just as it did before we were saved. Divine healing then is not necessarily in the atonement. But those who believe in divine healing, they die just like other people die. Now, divine healing, according to the Word of God, says that if we believe in divine healing according to the Word of God, that we are then saved but without it. Salvation is spoken of in three tenses: past, present, and future. When you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. My pages just do not want to act right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, "God is faithful, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of His Son Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Now we turn back over to the book of 2 Corinthians. And in the book of 2 Corinthians, I want to read beginning in verse 9 of chapter 1. He says, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver us, and doth deliver, in whom we may trust that He will yet deliver us." So we see here then the past tense, which has reference to our souls, the present tense, which has reference to our lives, and the future tense, which has reference to our bodies. Over in the book of Romans, chapter 8, we read beginning at verse 22. "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And so we see that this salvation then applies to us in past tense, our souls, in present tense, our lives, and the future tense, our bodies. So all believers will have new bodies in the time of the resurrection, and they will be raised incorruptible. When we turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 42. Though also is the resurrection of the dead, it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. So the body is still in corruption at the time of death, but when it is raised from the dead, it will be raised incorruptible. For all believers will have new bodies in that day of resurrection. For in 1 John chapter 3, we read in verses, well, let's just read two verses here. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So all believers will have a new body in the day of resurrection, as we will be like him. And the body is still in corruption now until the time of death. But when it is raised, it will be raised in incorruption. Now, the faith healers are inconsistent in their teaching. Oral Roberts, who I'm not sure if he's still alive today or not, but he was the last I heard. But he was in a hospital, and the name of his hospital was called the City of Faith. And he went there every once in a while because of his eye problems. Now, they say you can have aspirin if you want. So should the aspirin they give out be called faith pills? Or how about if they have false teeth or eyeglasses? And they do have false teeth. They do have eyeglasses. Now, we believe that divine healing is in the atonement. All redeemed by the blood will receive new bodies at the day of the resurrection. The spirit is born again. That is regeneration. The body is raised from the dead, and that is resurrection. And then according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we then have the victory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to close with these verses right here. First chapter, if I can get over there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read beginning in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this body must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal body shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege you have of assembling together on every Lord's Day. And that as we come together, we know that thy Holy Spirit is going to be there with us, and that he will be present with us in order that we might be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for this church and what it means to our community here, and we pray thy blessing upon it and upon its pastor.